And so we'll be going back into Daniel, and I'm going to particularly focus on Daniel 9:24 through 27 here. We have Daniel 9 is an incredible chapter. It's theologically rich. I mean, you have you have a fascinating chapter. You have a lot of Old Testament terms for unrighteousness. If you wanted to study Old Testament communication, you're probably going to land, I don't know how you would get around Daniel 9. You have lots of information about Old Testament communication in Daniel 9. But as we get towards the end of the chapter, we have a very important prophecy in Daniel 9. 24 and following. Now, just to give a little bit of background, when we get to Daniel 9, and it's probably been a while since some of us have been in Daniel, so just so we kind of have a little bit of background, we're picking up in Daniel 9, and we find Daniel here. He's getting a little long in the tooth, you might say, which I guess... I guess it's another way of saying he's his gums have receded. I mean, he's getting old. I just dawned on me with another euphemism. You know, you don't realize how many euphemisms you use until you're around somebody who comes from another country and has learned English but hasn't been exposed to the euphemisms, and then you use them and they ask you, well, what does that mean? Or why would you say that? And why does he have long teeth? Right. Daniel's, he's getting up there in age. And we have Daniel and the nation Israel are in the Babylonian captivity. And so both Daniel and the nation Israel have been carried off into captivity into the land of Babylon. And so let's pray and we'll pick up. We're going to survey through some of these things in Daniel 9 and try and just get familiar and get reminded in regards to the context. And then we'll start picking up, Lord willing, next week into some of the more specific details in 9:24 and following. So let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the day. We're thankful that we're your children, and we're grateful for the reminder of the benefits of grace and the work of Jesus Christ. We're thankful anytime we can have fellowship together and be relating to your word, and we just pray your spirit would use this hour to bless us through your word and in any time that we might share together, and we'll thank you. Amen. And so, as I mentioned here, Daniel, the nation Israel, they've been carried off. They're in captivity in the land of Babylon. Now, it's interesting, and so I'm going to point out a few things. When we come to Daniel, Jerusalem had been completely destroyed. And so when Nebuchadnezzar came in here, not only did he slaughter a majority of them, and then he took a number of them into Babylon, Jerusalem was completely destroyed. And so we can see that if we go back into 2 Chronicles. And so let's go into 2 Chronicles, if you will, and we'll pick up in chapter 36. And we'll see, this will just give us a little bit of an insight to the context in Daniel. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And let's see. Well, let's just go ahead and pick up in verse 15, and we'll read on down through 21 here. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up at betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of the sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of the princes, all of these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and they broke down the wall of Jerusalem. And they burnt all of the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all of the goodly vessels thereof. In verse 20. And them that had escaped from the sword, carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Now in verse 21, we see to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And so 70 years. Now, remember, the Jews were supposed to give a land a Sabbath rest every 7th year. And so here we see the exile tied to the land getting its Sabbath rest. And so what's implied here is that Israel, they didn't keep 70 Sabbath years. That's 490 years that they didn't recognize their Sabbath years. And so this is relating to the exile. Now, he made reference to Jeremiah. And over in Jeremiah, we have the prophecy where the desolations and the servitude were to last for a period of 70 years. And so let's go to Jeremiah and pick up in chapter 25. And let's go ahead and we're going to find our prophecy mentioned in Jeremiah 25:11, but let's just read down and get a little bit of context, and we'll pick up in verse 2 here. The which Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto all of the people of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that in the in 23rd year, the word of the Lord has come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given unto you and your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and to provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt, just literally no evil. And verse 7. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt or evil. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, verse 9, behold, I will send and take all of the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Let's go ahead and just read 10 and to get to 11. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of millstones and the light of the candle. In other words, there's not going to be blessing involved here. Remember the law, as they kept the law, there were blessings. If they didn't keep the law, there were curses. And they've invoked the curses, if you will. Now, when we come to Jeremiah 25:11, it says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation." The idea of a desolation, a waste, and an astonishment. "And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now, Daniel, as we get to Daniel 9, he's getting up there in age, but he knows his Old Testament. He knows that the 70 years that's mentioned here is getting close to the end. And so he's starting to wonder if maybe this 70 years is the end of the curses. Is this going to be the 70 years, the end of the curses? In other words, the potential, I think what he has in mind is, can the Palestinian covenant be implemented here after these curses? And so when we get to Daniel 9 then, let's go to Daniel 9 and we'll see that Daniel makes a reference to this very prophecy in Jeremiah 25. And so this brings us into Daniel 9. And we're going to survey through here and try and pick up some of the context. So then when we come back and we're dealing with Daniel 9:24 through 27, you have a little bit of a background. Daniel 9:1, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would fill up," or the idea accomplishes, to fill up 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And so, the 70 years of the desolations was to give the land the Sabbath rest that the Jews had not given it, which was required of them in the law. Basically, they had ignored the seven-year Sabbath that they were to give the land. And so they invoked the curses of the law. Now, when we move on into Daniel from 9:3 through verses 0 to about 19, we see Daniel communicates to God. He communicates to Adonai Elohim. And it's in reference to the future of his city and his people. And that's important. And it's kind of fun if you pay particular attention to the pronouns down through here. It's really obvious. And so let's just go and read some of these. And so Daniel's communicating here. Let's pick up when he uses the pronouns, the we and the us's, he's referring to himself and to the Jews. And so that's going to be important when we get down to Daniel 9:24. Now, the reason it's important is because when we say that if you're in the body of Christ, you're not going to go through the tribulation. And some of this is going to help you to understand as we go through here, especially when we start going through it in more detail. You'll see some of the purpose for the tribulation. And that's what this chapter is going to give us information regards to. So let's pick up in Daniel 9:5. And here Daniel says, "We have sinned." Now, this is in communication. You can see that In verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, you have to remember, this is an Old Testament prophet who had, if you would, the Old Testament privilege of being able to communicate. This, not anybody could communicate to God in the Old Testament. And so here Daniel, though, communicating as an Old Testament prophet. In verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And so now he's going to pay attention to these pronouns. Daniel's using and he's including himself and he's praying in regards to Israel, if you will. And the city of Jerusalem. You're going to see that sprinkled down through here. So in verse 5, he says, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. Just the idea of we've done perversely and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing or just turning from the precepts and from thy judgments. In other words, Daniel recognizes the reason, if you will, for their current circumstances is because they had brought it on themselves by not living by the precepts of the Mosaic law. And so in verse 6, he says, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, to our princes, our fathers, and to all of the people of the land. There he's talking about the promised land. This is for Israel. And so he says, O Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee. Just literally, righteousness is to thee. But unto us, Daniel including himself, the Jews, confusion of faces, just shame is the idea of shame. As at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and far, through all the countries where thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. And so you're picking up those pronouns. He's communicating on behalf of himself and of Israel in regards to really the Jews' sin and the desolation of Jerusalem. Here we'll see. In verse 9 he says, to the Lord our God belong mercies. Just our word there for tender compassions. I'm not sure what the New King James does there, but it's just the Hebrew word, the idea of tender compassions and forgiveness. Though we, again, those pronouns, we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. In other words, we've been a terribly disobedient people. We've deserved your righteous judgments through here. Now, when we get to verse 11, this is a key verse here in this section. He says, yes, all Israel have transgressed thy law. In other words, they've transgressed. They've crossed over the line of the law. The law was a line in the sand. It's, don't do this. Do this, whatever it was, they were crossing over it. They were in all of Israel. He says, even by departing or turning around, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us. And so the curse and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And so, in other words, here Daniel's recognizes that this is God's righteous judgment. This goes back into the law. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy, if you will. And let's pick up in chapter 28. I'm just suggest a couple things here.
Deuteronomy 28.
Yeah, let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and I'm going to pick up in verse 9 and 11 here. And we'll In Deuteronomy 28:9, it says, "The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways." And so they needed to keep the commandments and to walk in his ways. And let's just continue on and then read 10 and 11. "And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods and fruit of the body, and in fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord swore unto the fathers to give thee." In other words, as they kept the law, they were going to be blessed. But there was another side to that, and so we see that. Let's just read verse 15. In Deuteronomy 28:15, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all of these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And then you have a list of all of these potential curses. And there's way more curses than there are blessings. Now, this seems to be, Daniel recognizes this. He recognizes that God's righteous judgment has brought this, that Israel has brought this on themselves, if you will. Now, I think what Daniel, though, is when he reads Jeremiah 25:11, he recognizes that the exile and the servitude was going to last 70 years. But I think in reading Deuteronomy, he's not sure how the Palestinian covenant fits in. Now remember, the Palestinian covenant, they had a choice where they could choose life by living, the Palestinian covenant anticipates that they're not going to be able to keep the Mosaic law, but eventually that they would be able to enter the land. So let's just read Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 3. This is what I think Daniel is wondering about when he's going to communicate, as he's communicating to Adonai Elohim in Daniel 9, he's communicating on behalf of the Jews and Jerusalem, and I think he's wondering if the Palestinian covenant is going to come after the 70 years, which he knows is about at the end of its course. And so let's just read Deuteronomy chapter 30, 1 through 3. "And it shall come to pass, when all of these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and shall call them to heart among the nations where the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall hear his voice according to all that I commanded thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord, or Jehovah thy God, will return thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations where the Lord thy God has scattered thee." I believe that Daniel is trying to make sense if Jeremiah 25:11 fits in here with the Palestinian covenant. And so when we come back to Daniel 9, and we left off in verse 11, he says, "And he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem." He says, "As it is written in the law of Moses, all of this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities, our perversities, and understand thy truth." Verse 14, "Therefore has the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does. For we obeyed not his voice." Verse 15, "And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and has gotten thee renown, at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly." And so here you see, if you will, Daniel, on behalf of the nation and himself, confessing. And he says, "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness." It's interesting to follow these righteousness terms down here as he's communicating. He says, "According to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thy anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the perversities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us." Verse 17, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." He says, "O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy, not great mercies, but for your tender compassions." He says, "O Lord," or "Adonai, O Adonai, forgive, O Adonai, hearken and do, defer not for thy own sake, O my Elohim, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name." And so here we see, and we're just skimming and I'm reading, there's a ton of information, and from what I understand, we're going to have an opportunity possibly over the forum to get even more acquainted with this context. That's just a rumor. There's a lot in here that we're just passing over. But I think it's important for you to get a picture, see this context as we're working towards the prophecy in 9:24. You see, this is dealing with Daniel and his people and the city Jerusalem. And it's specific to this group of people in time because they did not keep the Mosaic law. And so they brought about the curses rather than the blessings. Now, when we get down to 9:20, it appears that before Daniel could finish his communication, we have an angelic messenger here with an answer. And so this is in while he's communicating to God as an Old Testament prophet. And now we're going to see that he's getting an immediate reply, and it says, "And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel," and as an Old Testament prophet, he could do that, "and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. And so the holy mountain, we saw that back in verse 16, connected to Jerusalem. In verse 21, he says, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, and so the high-born man Gabriel, this was, I believe, a reference to the spirit being Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, the evening sacrifice that would have been going on in Jerusalem. And so, and remember now, he's in Babylon, but as an Old Testament prophet, he's praying. He's going to be praying in the direction of Jerusalem. That's on his mind as he's communicating. Now in verse 22, and he says, and he informed me. He caused me to understand, literally. He caused me to understand, and he talked with me. This is Daniel saying this, and this is in regards to this angelic being named Gabriel. O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And the idea to give thee skill, it's just the idea to give thee to be prudent with understanding is kind of the idea. And now he's going to explain. At the beginning of thy supplications and the commandment, the word came forth, and I am come to show to you, to reveal to you, is the idea, that you are greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And so now we get to the verses that I'm going to want to, over the next several weeks, cover in a little more detail. Today, what I want to do is read through this section, and then I just want to point out some things to keep in mind, just to kind of introduce it. And so let's read verses 24 through 27 here. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, on your people, Daniel, and upon thy holy city. Your holy city, just talking about Jerusalem. And so the 70 weeks are just literally 70 sevens. 77. What's 70 times 7? 490. And so I think we're talking here about 490 years. We'll come back and visit that a little later. And so these 490 years or 77s are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now we have six infinitives following here that are giving purpose. So you have six of them. Now, I must say that if Daniel was hoping that the 70 years of exile and servitude, that the end of that was possibly going to bring about the Palestinian covenant, this must have been a little bit of a downer. Because he's just finding out, no, there's 77s here, 490 years to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation, just a covering for not iniquity but perversity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, just righteousness of the ages, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, the holy of holies. And so you have six infinitives here that list the purpose. Now in verse 25, and so this is Gabriel, who's really the one giving the prophecy in response to Daniel's communication. He says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto her until the Messiah, the prince, shall be seven sevens. 7 weeks or seven sevens. In other words, 49 years. And 62 weeks or two sevens. And so here you have 62 sevens. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now we get down to verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof will be with a flood, and unto the end war. Desolations are determined. They're decided. And this, they're literally cut off. Now in verse 27, he's saying, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. One seven-year period. Now we'll come back and I'm going to make some points here. I want to just finish reading this. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sanctuary and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so we're just going to point out a few things here, and we will be able to finish this up before our 2:45 time period. So do not worry. And so let's just consider a few things. Number one, as this prophecy has to do with Daniel's people and Daniel's city, and so the Jews or Israel and Jerusalem, and you see that in 9:24. 77s are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Number two, this prophecy deals with two different princes. And so we have Messiah the prince in verse 25. And here we see, know therefore and understand that from the goings forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah the prince. And so that's one prince that's mentioned, Messiah, the anointed one. Israel's Messiah, Israel's king. It's a title. If you use Messiah to a Jew, they would be thinking about the coming king. That's what they were anticipating in the millennial kingdom, was going to be under the rule of the Messiah. So we have one prince, Messiah the king. We have a second prince mentioned in here, the prince that shall come. And so in verse 26, it says, but after Messiah shall be cut off, he says, but not for himself. And he says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And so this prince that shall come, we have a second prince. Now we're going to show that this prince is going to relate to the first beast of Revelation 13. And so this prince shall come. Now, and so we have two princes in, mentioned. Now, the third thing I want to mention about this prophecy is the entire period, it deals with 77s, or 70 weeks, and these are weeks of years. And so it's dealing with 490 years of time that we know of. And so it's divided into three periods. The first period is seven sevens that we saw in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah shall be seven sevens. And so that's 49 years. And so that's the first time period that we'll consider. Next, we have a time period of 60, which is, a score is just 20, so 60 is 60, plus 2 weeks. And so here we have a time period of 62 weeks mentioned, and we have that mentioned in the end of verse 25, and 62 weeks, that's 62 weeks. And so, and then So that's 69 weeks total if you add those two together. And then finally, the final period that we have is there's a final period of 1 week or 7 years. And so you see that in verse 27. And he, talking to this prince that shall come, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In other words, for 7 years. And so that adds up to our 70 weeks. And so this is the week that's referred to as Daniel's 70th week. Now, sometimes we might refer to it as the tribulation. Just keep in mind when we say tribulation, we're talking about Daniel's 70th week. If we talk about the great tribulation, we're talking about the latter part of the tribulation period or Daniel's 70th week. But Daniel's 70th week is probably the more accurate term to use. That's what it's referred to as. And so now a couple other things I'd like to point out as we've got about 6 minutes here. The period of the 70 weeks, it begins with the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. And so you can see that in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And so the period of the 70 weeks, it begins though with this commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. And so we'll, Lord willing, we'll come back and consider that next week. Another point, thing to point out here is at the end of the 69 weeks, that's going to be marked by the appearance of the Messiah as the Prince. And so we can see that in verse 25 as well. To build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 2 weeks or 2 sevens. And so the end of the 69 weeks, I believe, is marked by the appearance of the Messiah as the Prince. And so I'm going to understand that probably to be the day that he arrived in Jerusalem on a colt, marked the end of the 69 weeks. Now, when we get, and so the other thing we want to point out here is that it's after the 69 weeks, which is 483 years, Messiah will be cut off. And so you see that in verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And so there you have to add the first 7 sevens, which is 49, and then you have the 62. And so it's after the 69 weeks Messiah is going to be cut off. And then also we see it's after the 69 weeks Jerusalem will be destroyed by the people of another prince who's yet to come. And so this would be one of the things that would support the fact that the man of lawlessness, the first beast of Revelation 13, is going to... Now, because we know Jerusalem was ultimately destroyed in 70 AD by who? Well, the Romans. Titus, yep, the Romans. And so... This would be a reason to understand that it's very likely that the man of lawlessness is he's going to be a Roman in some fashion. I'll say that. And so Messiah is going to be cut off though after the 69 weeks, and also in verse 26 we see that Jerusalem will be destroyed. Let me pick up in 26, but not of himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay. And now just a couple more things here. It's after these events, then, will come the 70th week, which will be marked by the establishment of a covenant between the coming prince and Israel for a period of 1 week or 7 years. Now, you can see that in verse 27. So a lot of people, they get a little sloppy. They might say that the rapture starts the tribulation or Daniel's 70th week. No, that's not true. The rapture is going to happen before the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. But after the rapture, there could be a little bit of a time interval. The man of lawlessness is going to be revealed after the departure of the church. And I believe he'll be revealed by this very thing you have here in verse 27. And he, talking about the prince that shall come, he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In other words, he's going to make a treaty. He's going to make a treaty, a firm treaty with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, and so this is the next thing we wanted to point out from this prophecy, it's in the middle of this week, of the middle of the 70th week, that this coming prince, he's going to cause the Jewish sacrifice and offering to cease. And so there's a couple things here. In Daniel's 70th week, during the tribulation period, the Jews will have a temple that's built and they will be practicing the law. And I believe this treaty that the man of lawlessness is going to make with the many in Israel is going to be related to allowing them to do that. And so we see here in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And so we'll just leave it there. And so, and then the last thing for today that we just want to point out is, again, we're just doing a little bit of an introduction so we can come in here and work this, is it's the completion of the 70 weeks ultimately will usher in a time of great blessing for Israel. And we get a glimpse of that in verse 24, where with these six infinitives, that these 77s that are determined upon thy people and thy holy city to finish the transgression, to seal up seal up sins, to make a covering for perversity, to bring in righteousness of the ages, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And so I believe here at the end of Daniel's 70th week is going to, we'll have the ushering in of the millennial kingdom. And so, again, you can see the importance then of this prophecy in understanding God's plan. And this plan, though, as you see it laid out here, doesn't deal with the parenthesis. It's implied in here, and we'll touch on that. But this is dealing with who Daniel has in mind, who he's communicating with God in relationship to, is Israel and the city Jerusalem pertaining to the land and the future of Israel and Jerusalem. And so that's where we're going to leave off today, just to introduce this. And Lord willing, we'll come back and we'll pick up in Daniel 9:24 next week, and we'll start to look at these six infinitive constructs in that verse. And so let's close. Father, thank you for the day. We're grateful for your word, the opportunity to be in it. We're grateful for the opportunities to be with other believers. And just may your spirit continue to grow us, and may we have opportunities to build up one another. And we'll thank you for what you do. Amen.